Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking together in a number of different messages. We've been thinking of the subject, the example of Christ to the believer. And I don't want to belabor this point, and I don't want to dwell on it too often. But his example is a wonderful help and encouragement to our lives. More than we realize, we need to think about what Jesus has done for us and the example he is to our lives in living in this world. As Christians, life in this world is not easy. Many times we feel very alone. Many times other Christians don't always do what they should be doing. They're not always the example to us they should be. Sometimes we feel very alone. Even when we're with other Christians, it shouldn't be like this. And I want to be very fair to Christians. It may be sometimes we simply don't understand other Christians. They don't mean to be a bad example, or they don't mean to make us feel alone. But sometimes life is like that. We feel this way. We feel no one cares. No one is with me. No one takes the same stand that I do. Now this, of course, is usually a false approach because we cannot say no one feels this way or no one takes a stand. Nevertheless, we are tempted to feel this way sometimes. And what I want to say is this. We need to reflect back on the fact that even if it appears no one else is acting like we are or taking the same stand, Jesus is not like this. Jesus is a perfect example in every way. And so in this series, we've considered so many different things, already some 16 or 18 different ways that Jesus is our perfect example. And we follow the Lord Jesus. We don't use an excuse or the excuse. I won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because Christians aren't always what they should be. Or I won't follow the Lord Jesus because my fellow Christians aren't what they should be. This is no excuse before God, because in the Lord Jesus, God has given us that perfect example in the Lord Jesus himself. I want to speak for a few moments about the subject of the example of Christ in prayer. Over in the Gospel of Mark, is one of the passages where Jesus is an example in prayer. And in verse 45 we begin, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before him into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed unto the mountain to pray." This seems very strange to us. We're speaking now of the divine Son of God. Why would he need to pray? After all, he is the divine Son of God. And he is God the Son, however you want to express this truth. And why would the divine Son of God need to pray? Well, the reason is, the Lord Jesus, in fact, there are a couple of reasons that I can mention. The Lord Jesus is, first of all, in human form. He's down on this earth. He has left heaven's glory. He is suffering all of the things that we suffer. He's suffering every temptation. He's suffering every physical thing that we suffer. He's facing opposition and all of these different things. And he needs strength in his human form from God the Father. And second, he desired to be in constant communication with God the Father. He is always, of course, God the Son. Of course, there is always that communication between the Father and the Son. But he very often would depart unto a place to pray. There are many references in the four Gospels where the Lord Jesus came apart to pray. And he would pray, and he would spend sometimes the entire night in prayer. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before he was to die on the cross, perhaps as few as 10 hours before he would die on the cross. He died at 9 o'clock in the morning. This now would be late at night, perhaps 10 or 12 o'clock midnight, just before he is to die. Remember, he was in prayer. He went 3 times, in fact, to the Father in prayer, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his human form, he needed special strength. And so the Lord Jesus is an example of prayer. Many times we Christians do not realize and we don't recognize the wonderful privilege God has given us of prayer. We, in our unsaved state, really are very limited in what we can pray. That is, before we were saved, we were very limited in what we could pray. And if you today are not saved, God doesn't have to listen to your prayer. What He will listen to, of course, is a prayer of repentance, your sorrow for sin, your desire to have the Lord Jesus, your prayer for Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin. But when you pray in a time of need, you don't belong to God yet. You don't have the relationship yet with Him. Suppose a son brings his friend into the home of his parents, and then this friend, in a very arrogant way, says to his mother, "Would you please give me $5? What would the mother say? "I'm sorry, I'm not your mother. You don't belong to our family. You go to your mother and ask her for $5. But I don't have to give you anything. I might give you 10 cents, but I wouldn't give you what you're asking for." So in the human realm, we recognize that when we don't belong to a family, we have no rights in that family. But the son in that family could ask anything he wants, and the mother and father would give it to him. In the spiritual realm, the same thing is true. But when I become a Christian, when I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, God brings me into a wonderful, wonderful relationship with God Almighty. Now, God Almighty has become my Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus now, the Divine Son of God, is my Savior from sin. I have this wonderful relationship now. God's Holy Spirit indwells my life. So in every way now, my life is enriched in this new relationship I have through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him as my Savior. And this relationship brings me many, many privileges. And one of these privileges is prayer. Now I can fellowship with God. So many of us, perhaps, have developed the habit of simply rushing into God's presence when we have a need. We're not there for fellowship. We're not there just to partake of the blessings of being in the presence of God, of the privilege we have of being in the presence of God. But we're there simply because of necessity. And then, of course, when we have delivered unto God our request, we rush right back out of His presence again. Imagine how God feels. We should be enjoying His presence. We should be enjoying the privilege of prayer. Jesus would spend all night in prayer to the Father, and we should be enjoying the same thing in our Christian lives. It's a wonderful privilege from God. And so, the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 7, speaks of prayer. And in fact, He's spoken of prayer many, many times. If you look at chapter 14 of John, He has spoken of this idea of praying and of coming before God with our needs and coming before God in praise and thanksgiving. And now in John chapter 15, verse 7, He said, "If you live in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you." In other words, if you're living in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a passage I dealt with in a previous series of messages, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth knowledge, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now, what does this passage teach us? Prayer is not just getting what we need, getting what we want. Prayer is often saying thanks to God. With thanksgiving, He says here. In other words, if you don't pray with thanksgiving, I may not answer all of your prayers. So we're to pray with thanksgiving to God. I believe in the Old Testament we're also taught that when we come before God, we come before God with praise. We praise Him. We thank and praise Him for who He is and what He is, even in times of great distress and great need. Hezekiah had this in 1 Kings. Again, the apostles had this in Acts chapter 4. They were coming to God in a time of great distress when persecution was threatening them in every possible way. But the first thing they did was to come before God with praise. So even in our times of deep need, we need to come into God's presence for fellowship, for encouragement, for lifting up by the very fact that we're in the presence of God. Moses, on Mount Sinai, beginning in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, enjoyed his time of fellowship with God. He was up there communing with God. It didn't take God long to give him the Ten Commandments, but Moses was up there day after day after day after day, and he didn't want to come down from the mountain because he enjoyed the fellowship and the presence of God. I want to encourage you believers. We need to pray. We need to make this a vital part of our Christian life, a vital part of our daily life. We need to make prayer a vital part. But when we pray, we need to recognize the possibilities of prayer, that prayer can be a time of blessing for us, a time of great encouragement, a time of great help. Even if no one else cares, God cares and is going to share with us His love and His tenderness and His kindness. And so let's make use of prayer. Even a young person could pray. When you're driving a car, I trust you're keeping your eyes open, but we can pray. Sometimes I make long journeys in the United States, and what a blessing it is to be able to pray, even for periods of time, and reflect on the goodness and the grace of God. So I pray this for each one of you. May God help you, in addition to reading His Word and obeying Him and other things, to pray and to have a prayer life. And may the Lord bless you, each one.